And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
It is falling everywhere around us. It's fall. It's my favorite time of year, but I could say that truly about every season. And we want to hear it from the farm today. Our food doesn't come from the grocery store, but from the soil. And we will check in with our soil on today's show and hear about the upcoming harvest festivals to honor the earth. The season of gentle light, harvesting the bounty today on An Organic Conversation.
Well, for me, actually, Helge, it is my favorite season, and I don't have several.
Ask you in spring again.
You can, winter. And I will tell you the exact same thing. I love the autumn. I love the changing of the light. I love the fact that I can have the bounty of summer and the beginning of autumn and winter food all in the same day. Just the warmth that surrounds you. There's just nothing like it. And I just really like to celebrate this particular season more than any, and I'm really glad that we get to do that.
How about you, Sita?
Well, it is my favorite season too. out of three. No, I agree with that. And actually, even just today in the studio, Mark and Helge and I were enjoying Asian pears and watermelon in the same snack, which is so wild to be able to get that kind of local food. And this is a time of such nourishment for me because of those reasons. And I'm really excited to learn from our guests. I know that there are ways that we can preserve this harvest well into the winter so we can continue to feel as nourished by it into the later months. So we'll hear about that today.
It's the time of light changing, of harvest, of coming together and coming together. I do want to dedicate this show to my companion, Timber, a dog I adopted at this point 9 years ago, or he adopted me rather, on a fall day. And we were told not to let him off the leash. I was told not to let him off the leash, or he was told not to let me off the leash. For the first few days, of course, I ignored that, and we just drove out into the woods, and I let him off the leash, and I saw the cold fall air in his breath. I could actually see his breath, and it was the breath of freedom after his stint for months in his one-by-one yard cubicle. So this show is dedicated to Timber and to any other dog that will find a new wonderful home soon.
In the fall.
In the fall, any time of the year, actually. The season of gentle light, harvesting the bounty, today on An Organic Conversation.
But first, here's the green headlines from Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. Illinois' governor vetoes plastic bag bill. Governor Pat Quinn recently vetoed the controversial Plastic Bag and Film Recycling Act, also referred to as the Bag Bill. 13-year-old Abby Goldberg began a petition against the bill, revealing that the legislature would prevent local municipalities from enacting their own plastic bag laws, including bans. Over 170,000 residents supported Goldberg, including many environmental activists and eventually Governor Quinn. Goldberg's reason for starting the petition? I care too much about animals, our environment, and our future natural resources to be silent. That's why I took action. UPS tests bike delivery in Germany. UPS Germany is conducting a pilot test of an electrically assisted cycle called the Cargo Cruiser. The company is determining whether this alternative fuel vehicle is an economic and ecological choice for urban deliveries with a range of about 22 miles, reaching 15.5 miles per hour, and almost 78 cubic feet of cargo space. The company believes the Cargo Cruiser will be easy to maneuver through narrow streets, reduce emissions, traffic congestion, and noise pollution. The U.S. Postal Service cuts energy consumption by 26%. Last month, the United States Postal Service reported that it had reduced total energy consumption by 26% since 2003. The USPS operates 33,000 buildings nationwide, a total of 280 million square feet, and is now home to New York City's largest green roof. The company says they're right on track towards meeting their goal of 30% energy reduction by the year 2015. And new farm program helps homeless in Florida. Verde Gardens, an innovative effort to tackle homelessness in Miami, is inviting formerly homeless people or families to join a live-in community farm project that grows produce for an upscale local restaurant. The program is the first of its kind in the nation, and the $17.2 million complex includes 145 housing units and 22 acres of organic farm. Chef Norman Van Aken buys produce from the farm for his eco-friendly restaurant, Tuyo, and stated, "This is one of the best chapters in Miami's history of food. And imagine, you can feed your family, a child, a neighbor." And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Thank you, Jen. That's Jen Lloyd with that weekly update of what's going on in the world of green living and sustainability. Wow, go Germany, the cargo cruiser after the smart car. I just visited my family back, and it's amazing that, you know, half the cars in Germany, it seems, have 40, 50, 60 miles to the gallon and are tiny, don't take any space. So now the cargo cruiser. But what do we think about Verde Gardens?
I am absolutely loving it. When I was listening to the news report, it reminded me of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where he states that.
Yeah, me too. but you say it.
Yeah, but I'll go ahead and say it. Thanks, Chuck. Where he states that if you don't have your basic needs taken care of, it's hard for you to create self-actualization for yourself, where you can't be creative or think about the morality of things or be spontaneous as far as your spiritual growth and things like that if you don't have food and water and a roof over your head and things like that, because you that's the only thing that you concentrate on. And I listened to this the idea of this farm, and this allows people to not only take care of those needs but get their hands in the soil and grow food, which creates another even closer connection to themselves and the people around them. And then do something for the community.
Yeah, it's amazing. Verde Gardens in Florida, employing homeless people, growing food for a restaurant nearby. It just reminds me once again, soil is the healing mechanism for our society. Our relationship to our soil defines everything. It defines water quality, food quality, obesity rates, how we come together, and projects like, you know, like this one on Verde Farms. There's the Farmer Veteran Coalition, which we are proudly supporting every week, a nonprofit that brings war veterans onto organic farms to heal with the land and get job skills, job training to add to the new group of young, ambitious farmers, new beginning farmers that we are growing in this country. So it's exciting. Soil has so much opportunity.
I think we should have a show on Verde Farm, Verde Gardens.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Note to producer Kristen Ponger nodding. Great. Verde Farms, Florida, employing homeless people who grow food for a restaurant nearby. We'll do a show on that coming up. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And also coming up right now in this hour is our conversation with some ridiculously sweet, engaged, and passionate farmers about the season of gentle light, harvesting the bounty, only here on An Organic Conversation. That and more when we come back. Stay tuned. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is the season of gentle light, harvesting the bounty. We are heading into the fall and the true harvest season with harvest festivals, the preparation of the soil for the winter, and the proper storage of vegetables for the winter months. The growing season is nearing its end, and we are paying homage to the farmers throughout this country and around the world, and to the work that went into every carrot and every tomato and every peach that we have eaten this year. I want to cite Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, who said, "Make sure that the things you do keep us alive." And in that spirit, We're celebrating the season of gentle light, harvesting the bounty, our topic in this week's episode of An Organic Conversation. And with us now, joining us from Guinda, California, is Drew Rivers, the founder of Full Belly Farm, and her daughter, Hallie, double trouble, Hallie Miller. Full Belly Farm, truly a California organic institution for almost 30 years, since 1985. Drew and Hallie, thank you for being with us today. Are you there?
Yeah, thank you.
Hello.
The daughter and the mother team. great to have you, Drew. We had you on the show before, I think in spring of this year, when you talked about what's going on at the beginning of the season, a wonderful show. And your excitement about what was to come was so tangible that we all got kind of cramps in our faces because we were smiling for an hour straight. Now that the season is coming to an end, maybe not quite over here in California, but in many other farms throughout the country, this is basically it. October bringing cold temperatures, even frost in many parts of the country. We have a couple weeks left, maybe, for most farms, but this was the 2012 season. How was the year overall for this movement, for the organic movement in your eyes, and how was it at Full Belly Farm, and what are you doing right now? What is this month like, where everything is kind of slowing down?
Yeah, thanks. I think what we could say is it was a bell ringer of a year.
What that means, but
one
yes.
One of these years that was just, I think the only thing I can think of is abundance. I mean, from the spring when I was on the show last, Helga, the amount of food that we've produced off our relatively small farm, 350 acres that we cultivate, has just been phenomenal. We've had a wonderful, abundant year. And partly weather was really kind to the farm. We had a warm spring, not too wet, and just a beautiful, warm summer. And we have just been full of crops the whole summer.
And speaking of crops, you grow over 100 different crops. Can you describe roughly throughout the season, what does Full Belly produce?
So summer for us means all the warm vegetables like melons and tomatoes and eggplant and peppers. The list goes on with fruit, peaches, nectarines, plums, apricots. And then in the fall and spring, we're really focusing on greens like lettuce and spinach and chard. And winter is more root crops, potatoes, carrots, beets. So, yeah, we are able to be harvesting 364 days of the year. So it's really great.
Which is unusual, of course, even in the farming world. Throughout the country, this was a tricky year. We had massive droughts. We had other areas that got frost laid. We had rain impact. As with your history since 1985 for 27 years, I'm sure you've seen completely different years, yes?
Yes. In fact, last year is really what we compare this year with. Last year we had a very, very late spring and wet, and everything was very late. So, it's just as this year compared to last especially was just phenomenal.
So it's October now, and it's harvest time, and things are changing. What is going on the farm today, and what are you looking at for this month?
So October for us is just this most, well, I have to agree with Mark that this is definitely my favorite time of year.
4 out of 4.
but it's a real transition month for us because we're still harvesting a lot of the summer crops. Just today I was out eating the most amazing melons, but we're also picking and starting to see greens coming and winter squash and, like you said, Asian pears at the same table with melons. So we are really seeing this transition to the winter greens, and cooler season crops, but we still are hanging on to all the warm season crops. So it's a really fun and exciting time of year here. It's also just so beautiful to have those things at the same table. Lettuce and tomatoes for us at the same table is really fun.
Hallie, you are a fairly new member of the team. Not really. You grew up on the farm, yes?
Lucky enough to grow up on a farm, yes.
And how does that work when you grow up on a farm? When do you kind of fall into the responsibilities that you have taken on? Does everyone at a farm has a specific task or responsibility? Like one takes care of the animals, somebody else takes care of the fruit trees, or does the season and the weather dictate what's needed that week and everyone comes in?
It's a little bit of both. Growing up, we had lots of chores, you know, to take care of the chickens or to help at farmers markets and things like that. But now, as I'm part of the team full-time, I'm done with college and I'm here all year round, our jobs have changed quite a bit. And so, like right now, all the apples are ready to harvest, and so we're spending a lot of time out harvesting all the apples to put them into cold storage so that we'll have some fruit over the winter months. And so that's a lot of energy is being focused there right now. So, yeah, it's a little bit of both, specific chores, but then also being able to see where the work is and jump in there.
So for both of you, now, Hallie, you know, you come from this with your own perspective. What is the season for you? What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What makes this so special right now from both your perspectives?
Something that I love about the fall is all summer long, you know, you sleep with the window open just so that you can get a little bit of fresh air. But now it's the air in the morning is so crisp, and you can just really feel that the season is changing so much. There's, you know, just everyone is so excited for the heat of the summer to dissipate a little bit and for a little bit of the coolness of the fall to settle in.
And I love the change of clouds, because we don't get any clouds really from May until October. And now we're starting to see in the morning and the evenings just these fall, I call them fall clouds, and beautiful sunsets. And hopefully those clouds are going to bring us a beautiful, abundant rain for the winter, which we really need this winter. So.
And you know what I like about the fall, from you, since you're both bringing that up, I slept outside last night and really got a chance to get that chill on my face and bones. But you actually, it slows down just a teeny bit, doesn't it, to where you can actually contemplate the clouds a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. There's not much time to think in August, but October brings like a little bit of calmness to the farm.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And we are speaking cheerfully with Drew Rivers and Hallie Miller of Full Belly Farm, an organic institution in Guinda, California. It's been there since 1985, one of really the leaders of the movement. And you have a gigantic harvest festival coming up that we want to talk about every year, several thousand people. And also, you are, even though you are harvesting 365 days of the year, there are some preparations that are taking place at the farm. We want to hear about that too. We'll take a quick break, but we'll be right back with you. Stay tuned.
Like a bee, I'm floating home from the world away. Things are clear to me. Spring is coming back to the land. It's only 4 degrees out, but I feel it's true. And I cannot find the moon.
Earl's Organic Produce is the only 100% organic wholesaler in the San Francisco produce market. We are proud to offer a unique limited edition organic heirloom salsa made with the most flavorful heirloom tomatoes and offered only during the prime time of the heirloom season. Our tomatoes are sourced exclusively from Tutti Frutti Farms in Lompoc, California. Look for it now at local retailers in the San Francisco Bay Area. Follow us on Facebook, Earl's Organic.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Do you have a passion for healing through healthful organic food? Become an expert in nutrition, the prevention of illness, and the promotion of optimal health. The Bowman College Distance Learning Program is a convenient, self-paced program that prepares you for a successful career as a nutrition consultant in your own home, on your own time, in a way that's organic to you. Start on your path to holistic health today with the Bowman College Distance Learning Program. Find out more at bowmancollege.org. That's BAUMANcollege.org.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
We are celebrating the season of gentle light, harvesting the bounty, our topic in this week's episode of an organic conversation. And on the phone from Guinda, California, from Full Belly Farm, is Drew Rivers, the founder of Full Belly Farm, and her daughter, Hallie Miller.
So I wanted to touch base with you guys about how do you prepare the soil of the farm? Because you guys say 364 days of harvest throughout the year, there isn't really a resting season. So what do you do when you know that the rain is coming and the soil needs some time to repair and renourish? What is that process like for you?
Well, you know, we are a year-round farm, but our soil is always going to rest at some point in the season. This is, you know, our time when we're getting all the fields composted. Hallie and I do school groups, and we tell the kids, you know, we probably put on over 4 million pounds of compost on our soil every year on our 350 acres. So we are composting, and then we're also planting a lot of cover crops. All of our fields are planted with really nourishing plants that just go back into the soil called cover crops. And so right now we're planting oats and vetch as our winter cover crops, and we're disking in the summer cover crops that were Sudan grass and cowpeas, all these really very nourishing things for our soil. I just cannot express enough how important the soil is to our farm. It really is the basis of all things that come from the farm, and so we take really good care of it.
And letting it rest and, of course, bringing nutrients and compost back into the soil is important and critical, and really the foundation of the principles of organic farming, keeping it covered for the winter, even though you might not experience snow, does prevent any soil erosion, and having rain wash off really healthy and fertile soil too, right? Is that correct?
That's so correct, because our winter months can be really rainy, and so we love to have every inch of the soil growing a crop that we can, you know, have the water soak into the soil rather than having that precious rainwater run off. So those cover crops are critical for the soil, but also for just this amazing water retention.
Mark, when you travel throughout the country right now, I know you were gone a couple of weeks training retail stores on how to have better produce departments. What do you see throughout the country? Where is farming at now that we are heading into the late summer?
Midwest is just grappling with that drought that they've all had. You know, most of them just gave up their corn crops and a lot of their late season crops that are just already starting to think about the next year. I was just in the Mountain Standard Time in the Boise area, and I was at a farm-to-table dinner there from Peaceful Belly Farm.
Yeah.
And not Full Belly, Peaceful Belly. And Abby Carlson did this amazing dinner. And as I was sitting there, the night before they'd gotten their frost and they had to pick all their tomatoes and they had to pick all their, you know, a lot of their items to get them out of the field so that they could still get the crop from them. And so, but the transitions, I think it's the same just about anywhere. You see the slowing down, you see the change of light, you see them preparing, getting ready to prepare the soil for the winter. And that's the beautiful thing about traveling around this country is I get to see so many farmers who practice the same art and love of the land just in a different region. And sometimes that might be a month earlier than it is here or a month later, depending on where you are. And it's, but the great thing is that it's going on full bore and people are just, you know, falling into the land and get ready for winter.
Well, having done this for at least 27 plus years, Drew, I would love to hear from you what your tips are to extend the harvest into the rainy and winter season, from root vegetables to drying things. Because we are still in production on the land, we'll hear it again from Mark, our very own produce expert, here on An Organic Conversation, Mark Mulcahy with the update of the best produce item of the week. Mark, and what's in season?
Yes, what's in season? And I love this what's in season. First of all, as everybody knows who's been listening to our show for a while, that autumn is my absolute favorite season of the year. And this is the time where you start seeing that just that burst of color. And it's not that summer color that, you know, peaches and everything bring. It's that color from winter squash that just, it's like a welcome friend. You walk in and there's just so many colors and textures and you just want to just walk in and touch it and just be around it. And so today, as always for this segment, we have the voice of the market, Earl Herrick from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco, who's calling in to talk to us a little bit about winter squash.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Earl.
Hey, I couldn't help but hear your lead in there, Mark. I mean, you got me just like wondering, wow, I'm not sure what I can say about this. you're really right. I mean, the winter squash so much characterizes that autumn time. And that's really where we are, right at the end of the Indian summer and autumn coming on, the deep, rich colors that only come from sitting out in the sun all summer and getting all that richness. So with winter squash, that's what we get. You know, there's lots of varieties. But, you know, in one sense, you can look at it as dark varieties versus light varieties.
Uh-huh. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's basically external color. Like the dark ones would be acorn and kabocha and red curry. And then the lighter color ones would be butternut and delicata and spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
So when you break it down like that, they're kind of interesting in how they're harvested and how they're dealt with. So, well, first of all, before I get into all that, I'm going to say it's going to be a great year, even though it has been spotty for certain growers because we had a wet spring, and that wet spring kept some of the growers from getting into the field and planting. Now, some of the guys did go in and plant, and they lost some of their crop because it was just too wet and the vines didn't produce. But I had other growers that I talked to went in and did another planting, so they had a double planting, and that really is creating a great yield. We're going to see good variety, good pricing. So for that whole Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner, we should have plenty of product.
Oh, fantastic. That's good to know.
So in terms of how they're dealt with, you know, when a grower's going through his field and he's trying to determine when to harvest, he's looking at the vine and the foliage and the flowers. And when that dries up and there's good size on that squash, he knows it's time to harvest it. And what he's going to do, he's going to harvest the dark ones first and get them out of the field because being dark, they're absorbing more sun, you know, just by the dark, and they can get sunburned easier. So when you're in a market and you see an acorn squash, a dark acorn, you got that one side that's kind of golden, that's probably a sunburn area. That doesn't hurt the product, but it does have a little cosmetic difference, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you harvest the dark ones, get them out of the sun, and then you go back and get the lighter color ones. And what's so economic about this is you can store them in the shade. So you can harvest them, put them in a big bin, put them under a tree, and the warm nights, the cold nights will, I guess you could say, refrigerate them enough so they can sit out, and even with a warm day under the sun, they're fine. So in one sense, it's a very economical plant to handle.
Well, and also that extra coolness, actually, there's an old adage that you would really want to wait until you get your first frost, kind of like kissed by frost, where a lot of winter squash actually get more of that sugar component in them than they do for some of the earlier squash, from what I'm told.
Yeah, and this is also, this is obviously different than summer squash. You know, winter squash, hard squash. You know, it's going to be different than that zucchini and the yellow crookneck. This is the big brothers of that, in the big thick rind and the really intense sweet flavor.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Well, and I feel like you get really good value for your dollar with winter squash because they're so dense. They have so much. They just have so much good flesh and nutrients. So I usually feel like the price is fantastic. Is that the case for this season?
It will be. Yeah, it's going to be very good. Now, there could be pockets where the price is a little higher, especially at a farmer's market where you're dealing with smaller growers, where whatever happens to them is a bigger impact. But I think in your general natural food grocery store, we're going to see very good pricing. We're going to see good promotions around those holidays.
Uh-huh. Well, bring on the pumpkin pie.
There you go. And you ought to be held just to pumpkins when you make those pies.
Well, the delicata, you just talked about it, right?
Yeah.
You had a delicata or a Hubbard squash or something like that.
So good for pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if we go over to your house, we'll find delicata. What will we find at your house, Sita?
You know what? Honestly, I'm really classic with butternut squash. Mm-hmm. And I love kabocha, which is a little bit harder to break into. But, man, I just find butternut so versatile for sweet and savory. And
And also that butternut's going to yield you a lot more than like the delicata.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you should look for a nice long neck on your butternut because it's all squash.
That's right.
Right?
It's all squash.
It's all squash. Well, the delicata has thin sides and a big seed pack, whereas the butternut is all squash with a small seed pack.
Right on the mark. You're very, very true. You know, you're right. I mean, if I'm making a pie, I'm cooking one butternut or about three delicatas.
Yeah.
Big difference.
There you go.
Yep.
So probably butternut may be your best value out there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Earl.
Thank you, Earl.
As always, you are a wealth of knowledge and a breath of fresh air on the show, and we appreciate you joining us each week.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Earl. Thank you.
See you. Bye now.
So whatever squash you choose, go out there, and now's the time to start picking them up. The weather's getting cool. You'll feel like cooking. If your area, depending on where you are, still has some warm temperatures, you don't have to bake them like we've all know how to do, or roast them. You can always steam them. You can always cube them up and steam them, and that's a nice way to get that flavor, too. And they're great wrapped in tortillas or something like that, really simple. And the one thing, a couple of quick things about winter squash is, you know, the dark orange flesh of a winter squash makes it an ideal winter food. So as we're going into the colder weather, you want to look for foods that have that dark orange flesh, which means it's higher in beta carotene or vitamin A. And this provides a powerful antioxidant we need to most combat the cold and flu season. And also, it's rich in complex carbohydrates that digest slowly, which provides energy over time instead of a quick sugar buzz of like simple carb foods. And it's high in fiber, which absorbs water in the digestive tract, and that helps eliminate toxins and waste, which we could use as we start eating more fatty foods during the winter. And lastly, if you're going to choose squash and you see that the winter squash is 99 cents a pound for organic and 39 for conventional, something you might want to consider is that winter squash is a storage vegetable. And unfortunately, it stores lots of nutrients, but it also has the ability to store pesticides it picks up in the ground, and sometimes for even years after the pesticides were applied. So things like DDT or some of these really toxic organophosphates and things like that have a long soil life, squash is one of those plants that can pick those chemicals up. And so you would obviously be eating those residues. And so I'd recommend if on this particular produce item, you especially want to choose organic, and it's definitely worth the price for a lot of other reasons, but for that one in particular. And that's what's in season.
Thanks, Mark. Hey, what's your favorite squash?
Oh, well, I love your kabocha. I love Earl's delicata. I'm a really moody squash eater, and squash speak to me when I walk in the store. You also want to make sure your squashes are heavy for their size when you're picking them up. But I think my favorite is Hubbard squash. There's a red curry. There's a blue Hubbard. There's several varieties. They're usually much bigger. It takes a little longer to have to cut through them. Big, deep, dense flesh. But they're so creamy, they just really melt right in your tongue. Mm. They're just really nice.
Helga, what's your favorite?
I would go with delicata. And I love your tip, Mark, that for 39 cents versus 99 cents, you get a lot of squash, organic squash, for a dollar or in that range. That's a lot of volume of food. So, yeah, go organic, whatever your squash favorite might be. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is the season of gentle light, harvesting the bounty. With us is Drew Rivers and Hallie Miller of Full Belly Farm. After a rather difficult year of 2011, now this season in 2012, everything came together. The rain, the sun, the bees, to produce kind of a record crop, it sounds like, and a record season. Is that true, Drew, throughout really the entire year? It started strong and it continued throughout 2012?
That is so true. Yeah, it was just a banner year. Yeah, it was so great. We have had more tomatoes than I can imagine could ever come off one farm, and melons. It's just been a really wonderful summer. Yep.
So I know you offer several ways of for people to get involved in the harvest, of buying these CSA, but as a general rule of thumb, or just out of your experience of being a farmer for 27 years, what's your best advice to preserve the summer and the late harvest into the winter? What can people do? And I'm not talking about canning and preserving, but like the easy tips that you do to bring some of that incredible 2012 harvest into the winter months.
Well, I wish I could have a picture of our dry yard right now in California. One of the easiest and most energy efficient way of preserving the harvest is to dry things. Our sun is so amazingly warm. I think today here it's still 95 in the middle of the day. So we have this drying area full right now of figs that we're drying, and peaches and tomatoes and onions. So just setting things out in the sun, it's really a no-fuss technique. We cut things just really minimally and open them up and let them dry on some food-grade plastic screens, and they dry in 4 or 5 days. You have beautiful dried figs, and we're drying plums right now, and it's just so pretty. I wish I could show everyone a picture.
What about root cellars? Do you have much information or tips on how somebody can kind of harness that power in preserving the harvest?
Well, our old farmhouse here was built in the late 1800s, and it is got a root cellar that we've sort of reinvigorated, and it works. I mean, underneath the ground the temperature stays a really consistent 55 degrees, right around there, so you can definitely put things in a root cellar that need, like cabbages and carrots and potatoes. We, of course, rely a lot now here on coolers, but the old root cellar technique is a wonderful one.
Hey, and Hallie, can you give us a little memory or a little glimpse of what that's like to be in the root cellar?
The root cellar is a pretty pretty, it's, well, it's really cold down there. But, you know, it's a great spot. And I do have memories of my brothers hiding me down there at several points during my childhood. But mostly we have used it for making sure that we do have all this, you know, spring bounty throughout the summer and then also the summer bounty throughout the late fall.
How do you deal with vegetables? Drew, you just said cabbage can be stored in the root cellar. Mark, do you want to chime in? How does that work? How can you? I didn't think that you could keep cabbage for more than 2 weeks.
Well, what's the temperature in your root cellar? Is it about 40 degrees down there?
It's probably more like, you know, 50. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, from the ways that I know, and you, and please, Hallie and Drew, chime in, but from a couple of the root cellars I've been in, is they've actually had sand in there, and they've actually stored carrots in the sand. And so even though it's cool there, it's even cooler in the soil or the sand, that, and you could actually reach in there and grab carrots or beets or those types of things right out of the sand. It's actually acting like a refrigerator.
Right, and I grew up in Vermont where many people had root cellars, and using straw like in between your tomatoes so that they didn't touch each other and had less susceptibility to molds and things. So, you know, keeping a little bit of space between things also is a great idea. You know, one thing we do here at the farm, too, because we have the luxury, is to keep things in the soil. I mean, potatoes and carrots actually store the best right in the ground, even though they may be ready, but they'll stop growing enough and they just get sweeter and sweeter.
So you would take off the tops and that so that they wouldn't keep trying to feed the top,
right,
and then just let them be in the ground. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow, what a great tip. Helga, did you say that you have a lot of experience with root cellars as well? They're common in Germany?
Yeah, before we got an oil-based heating system, we had a coal-based heating system, and most houses in Germany have a cellar. And so in one side of the cellar, you have a mountain of coal. On the other side of the cellar, you have a mountain of potatoes. And really, potatoes and sugar beets, like those were staples really throughout the winter. And there's a variety of dishes, of course, you can make with potatoes. But with that combination of sugar beets and potatoes, really, it's the vegetable four times a week for 5 months of the winter season.
Well, you know, if you would have had cabbage down there, then you could have had coleslaw.
Yeah. coleslaw. And just like Hallie, I remember my older sister putting me down there, and that's not a fun experience.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Creepy. Anyway, Hallie, you, as the daughter of Drew, have taken on the executive director role for the Harvest Festival now in how many years has Full Belly thrown?
This is our 25th annual.
Yes.
Woohoo!
The big 25.
25 years of celebrating here, the end of harvest at Full Belly Farm.
And it's called Hose Down, and it's coming up, and we want to hear everything about it when we come back right after the break. Stay tuned for more.
Time of year, somewhere far away from here. I feel fine enough, I guess.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you a chef, have a catering business, or planning a party, or simply just love organic produce? If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, walk right in to Earl's Organic Produce. Anyone can buy directly from us at wholesale prices. You don't have to be a natural food store to enjoy the freshest and most delicious organic produce. We are located on the San Francisco Produce Market at 2101 Gerald Avenue. We look forward to seeing you.
Walk-in hours are Monday through Friday throughout the night from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Minimum purchase is one box or flat, cash or checks only. For more information, visit earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at BowmanCollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N College.org.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com. The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Michael Cahey.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is the season of gentle light, harvesting the bounty. We're talking with Drew Rivers and Hallie Miller of Full Belly Farm about the 2012 season and about the upcoming Harvest Festival Hose Down. Before we dive back into that conversation, here is our very own chef Sita, Sitarani Palomar, with her holistic bite.
Well, the weather is cooling down, the leaves are beginning to fall, and our daily habits are shifting into those of a slower pace and also a more nurturing energy. And now is the time to savor the spirit of slow and treat yourself to activities of extra loving care. And some of my favorite fall activities include things like getting lost in a corn maze or, of course, slow cooking, and even treating myself to something like an at-home steam facial. It's a really easy way to hydrate and smooth and soothe wearied skin as the temperatures get a little bit colder, and it provides some great aromatherapeutic qualities, as well as opening your pores and opening your sinuses too, so as you get into that season of cold and flu and you may find congestion. Preparing a at-home steam facial with aromatherapy, therapeutic oils, essential oils, will really help to combat the clogged sinuses and also open your pores so that any kind of dirt or impurities are more easy to come out, and you're giving yourself something that's very hydrating and it's so easy to prepare. What you do is you fill up your bathroom sink with super, super hot water. And I like to add some drops of essential oil to it. I know some people will add tea bags and other people will add even fresh herbs themselves if they want to put some rosemary in. But what that does is it infuses in the hot water, and then you take a towel over your head and kind of pop your head over the hot water and use the towel to make this little encasement so that all of the steam goes right to your face. And it's so opening and nourishing. And I find that I like to choose herbs that have kind of a more cooling effect, like lavender or peppermint or eucalyptus, as opposed to something like cinnamon, because the steam is hot. But if you're breathing in those aromas that are cooling, it has this counterbalancing effect that seems to make everything very, very enjoyable. And I also find that this is an indulgent and restorative bit of TLC to treat myself to when I travel. It will really center and calm you. So after you get off the plane, you get settled in your hotel or wherever you're going, if you take a little bit of time to give yourself a steam facial, I travel with a little bit of essential oil and it really brings me back into harmony. Then after you're done, if you want, just rinse your face and then follow up with a topical treatment if you would like astringent or a really nourishing face cream. And that's a great way for you to really be a part of this slow time and hydrate and nourish your skin the way you're going to hydrate and nourish your body. And that's this week's Holistic Bite.
Thank you, Chef Sita Rani Palomar. The Holistic Bite, brought to you as always by Eco Bella. There's a beautiful way you can protect the animals and the planet and look and feel great while doing it. The natural and organic beauty products of Eco Bella. And speaking of
steams,
and what, yeah, is there a product you would recommend that people can, if they, you know, if they don't know how to use herbs or how to throw in a whole bunch of rosemary? What can you recommend? Is there anything in the lineup actually of Eco Bella?
Absolutely.
Their products are super clean. There's nothing in there that you don't want.
Right.
What would you recommend?
They have a revitalizing face serum that is a beautiful mix of essential oils. And they use organic jojoba oil as kind of the base of it. And I think that that is a really great way to get a good cleansing mix for your skin and for your sinuses. And then if you want to follow up, like I said, with rinsing and then spritzing a toner on your face, it really helps to rebalance the pH on your skin. Their Mist-On Toner is fantastic.
That's Eco Bella. For more information and to check out their products, visit ecobella.com. That's ecobella.com. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And with us still from Gwinda, California, Drew Rivers and Hallie Muller of Full Belly Farm. Hallie, it's hose down time. Actually, literally, it's Hose Down Harvest Festival. Talk us through 25 years of Hose Down. That's an incredible anniversary of what started much smaller, now has turned into several thousand people celebrating Full Belly Farm, celebrating Full Belly Farm's leadership in the organic movement and the season. Tell us about the 25 years that you are now leading as executive director.
Well, I was only 6 months old when the first hose down happened, but I have now moved into a role that is really fun. And the hose down started as a way to bring people to Full Belly Farm to celebrate the end of the harvest. And also, my mom and her friends made dried flower wreaths, and so they were really looking for a way to bring people here to our farm so that they could see these beautiful dried flower wreaths. And the hose down has grown tremendously since that very first year, and we still have the dried flower wreaths, but there are so many more things that happen on the farm that weekend. Full Belly, really, we just look forward to this event so much because it's a chance for us to really open the farm up to anyone to come here, experience rural living at its very finest, and really have a very, very fun weekend.
So what's hose down?
So we're talking about putting that farming implement, that very useful garden tool of a hoe, put it down for a weekend, kick up your boots, and really have a chance to have a good time at a farm for the weekend.
So
my mom said that we farm 364 days out of the year because the hose down is the one day out of the year.
Oh, really? See, I assumed it was Christmas Day, but that is
something
way better. How sweet. Oh, my God. I love that.
So how many people come to this thing?
How did it start, Hallie? How many came to the very first hose down festival?
I don't remember how many came to the very first one.
Maybe
my mom
200.
It was pretty small,
like
about 200 people. And last year we counted about 5,000 people who came to the farm for the weekend.
Wow.
Yes, and you are the executive director because Hose Down is more than just, quote unquote, a wonderful, wonderful harvest celebration and the gathering of community and the celebration of the organic movement. It is actually a fundraiser and not for Full Belly Farm, but for everyone else. Tell us about it.
That is true. And not a penny stays at Full Belly Farm. We share all the proceeds from the host down with the Ecological Farming Association and about 30 other community groups. Local high school scholarships are made possible, local organizations who really are paving the way for young farmers and making sure that this sustainable and organic farming movement moves on beyond just our farm and the farms in our area. So last year we raised about $70,000 for these local organizations, and we really are just so pleased that it can happen here at Full Belly
Farm. That is incredible. $70,000, 5,000 people.
Yeah, so who comes to this festival? Like, what are you featuring and who's being drawn in?
Yes, So we invite everyone to come to the hose down. There are literally hundreds of activities that happen over the course of Saturday and Sunday. The main festival takes place on Saturday, and there are so many things that go on. There are workshops on things like beekeeping and backyard chicken coops and preserving food. There is an enormous children's area with hands-on arts and crafts, a 700-bale hay fort that kids can climb in, through, and around. There is a cow milking demonstration. There's live music with some really great local musicians. And we have a wonderful food that's from local farms and sourced locally through tremendous donations from great organic and sustainable food producers. And, the whole weekend just unfolds to be this really magical time here at Full Belly.
And when is it? Lovely. When is it? What's the website?
It's coming up.
Yeah.
So the Hose Down this year is on October 6th. And the website is www.hosedown.org. And we invite people to check out the website and then give us a call if they have any questions, because we would just, so love to make sure that this is a weekend that is memorable for everyone.
October 6th, it's a full-day event at Full Belly Farm, Hose Down, in its 25th year. Last year, 5,000 people, really anyone from kids to parents, of course, to other farmers, to the general public, really everyone is invited. It's a huge shindig all day, lots of demonstrations, lots of foods to eat, of course. A fundraiser raising $70,000 last year, maybe more this year. And October 6th, hosedown.org. I know you rely a lot on volunteer help to pull this off. Will people find more information on that website again as well, or how can they get in touch with you?
The Hose Down is actually like 100% volunteer powered. So we have about 300 volunteers who come to Full Belly for that weekend to help us pull off this tremendous event. And yes, you can find out more information about volunteering on our website.
And I understand that there's a rumor that if someone wanted to actually meet a radio host from Organic Conversation, that Helga might be there, that they could actually meet him face to face.
Yes, we'll be there. Again,
we have a volunteer position in the cow pie bingo, or perhaps you could be spotted at the manure pitch-off. This will be our 25th annual manure pitch-off.
Yeah, that gives you an idea of what that's like. Okay, lots of great live music. That's October 6th at Full Belly Farm. Check out fullbellyfarm.com or hosedown.org. Thank you so much once again, Drew, for joining us today. That's Drew Rivers and Holly Müller, for all your work throughout the year to keep us well-fed and to lead the organic movement, really. It's an institution, Full Belly Farm, in its 27th year with Hose Down, 25 years old. Good luck, and we'll see you at the Hose Down Festival.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer Kristen Ponger, studio engineer Robert Costa, news services Jan Lloyd, underwriting production Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/anorganicconversation. We're your hosts, Helga Hellberg.
Mark Mulcahy.
And Sitarani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Something without warning of. There's heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gone. Yeah.
instead of